This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Are you driving your car or doing laundry right now? Podcasts go best when they're bundled with another activity. Like Progressive home and auto policies, they're best when they're bundled too. Having these two policies together makes insurance easier and could help you save. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save nearly $800 on average. Quote a home and car bundle today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $793 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2021 and May 2022. Potential savings will vary.
The New Yorker Radio Hour is supported by the Sympathizer podcast from HBO. From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr., The Sympathizer is the new HBO original limited series based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel of the same name. On the Sympathizer podcast, join host Philip Nguyen in conversation with the cast, crew, and author Viet Thanh Nguyen as they discuss the making of this historic series. Stream new episodes of HBO's The Sympathizer, Sundays exclusively on Max, and listen to the Sympathizer podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.
Listener supported, WNYC Studios.
It comes as something of a surprise to remember that President Biden is only the second Catholic to hold the office out of 46 people so far. The first, of course, was John Kennedy. And whether that has any significance to his policies or his leadership is a question that I wanted to ask Paul Eli. Paul writes for us frequently about the Catholic Church and issues of faith, and he's a senior fellow at Georgetown University's Berkeley Center for Religion, Peace, and World Affairs. Now, Paul, I think we're long past time when discrimination against Catholics was a real force in America. But what do you make of the fact that Biden is only the second Catholic president?
What I think is just how clearly it reveals how dramatically things have changed since Kennedy was elected in 1960. At that moment, you had Franco in power in Spain. You had the church tightly wound in with governments in the countries from which so many American Catholics had come, in Italy and Ireland. The church was deeply tied into governments in Latin America. There was fear that something like that could happen here. That said, I don't think the animus against Kennedy really was about that. I think it was a holdover of a long nativism of American Protestants against Catholics that led the KKK to identify papists as others, as people not like us. So here we are some years later, and I don't think anyone's concerned that the Pope is going to give Joe Biden an order that he must follow. And in some ways, it's rich that actually the people who historically fear such scenarios, people on the left, are now looking to Biden to bring his religion into the mix.
In a way, they want to see some of Pope Francis brought into the mix.
I think that's right. One of the things that distinguishes Biden's Catholicism is that it's not doctrinaire. It tries to make common cause with people of different groups. And he has that in common with Pope Francis. And so there's the hope that Francis's openness, his informality, his flexibility, his confidence that Catholicism is relevant and lack of anxiety about its place in any culture war is going to inform Biden's approach to Catholicism as president.
So where do you see the evidence that Biden's religious values, his religious practice, shape his policies?
It's hard to tell. And that's perturbed a lot of people on the right. And it's given a lot of anxiety to certain Catholic bishops who are already concerned that his executive orders go against Catholic teaching, that he's about to enshrine a kind of take-it-or-leave-it Catholicism as legitimate in this country. What I see is something much more obvious but no less important. Biden values institutions. He has a concern for the common good. He likes to speak a language that others speak. And in this case, the language that he speaks that enables him to make common cause with others often has a religious accent. The common good, my brother's keeper, welcome the stranger, and so forth. It's at that level that he can strike a religious note and both embolden people on the left and possibly reach out to people on the right.
Now, I think it's safe to say that Joe Biden is a more devout Christian than his predecessor, certainly a more practicing one, although Trump remains a huge favorite among evangelical voters, despite his not being terribly observant, to say the least. Have American Catholics had the same devotion to Trump?
It breaks down in different ways. Among white Catholics, especially in the heartland, there's a really considerable support for Trump. It's baffled a lot of people. I'm personally baffled by it. What I think is really clear is that there's an equally substantial number of Catholics who are not only supportive of Biden, but are ready to move forward and coalesce around Biden if he can make a few bold moves in policy in his early months and do it in a way that reflects not just a concern for Catholicism, but suggests that he's speaking as one of them.
Biden seemed reluctant earlier in his career to invoke faith in any blatant, obvious way, and he's been more demonstrative about that in later years. Why is that?
Well, David, I think there are a couple of reasons for that. One has to do with his personal story. The death of his son, Beau, led him to speak more forthrightly about grief. And then the historical context has changed since the 80s. In the 80s, it was the right, and especially the Catholic right, who urged public officials to conform public policy to their Catholic beliefs. Over the past three decades, things have turned in the opposite way, where now you have a Supreme Court justice like Amy Coney Barrett actually insisting during her confirmation hearings that her very deeply held Catholicism will not affect her rulings from the bench. And Biden, on the other side, is more and more comfortable speaking of faith because the ground has softened and faith as public policy is part of the lingua franca of our time.
But isn't that just a difference in the jobs they hold? A Supreme Court justice has to, you know, bob and weave through his or her hearings, whereas a presidential candidate is appealing at a different level.
That's definitely the case. I guess, and this is almost a question for you, I think that President Obama helped now President Biden open up his vocabulary in matters of faith. Barack Obama was very articulate, very convincing on the role that Christianity had played in his life, and then spoke with great power after the church massacre, for example. This showed that a person could speak from the heart on matters of faith without being governed by faith or a slave to faith. And I think Biden was right by his side and picked up on that. What do you think?
Well, I don't really know. President Obama's religion has always been a kind of mystery to me, not that it necessarily should be an open matter, because he was clearly committed to the church he was committed to. But in many ways, it seemed a matter of community as much as it did traditional religious faith.
And I think that that's more true of Biden than maybe we've detected. Yes, he goes to Mass on Sundays. Yes, he carries a rosary. But in a very deep way, he belongs to a Catholic community in the broadest sense. Mm. This is tens of millions of people who identify with Catholicism in some way, whether it's a childhood influence, something they practice now, something that is part of where they came from. And that sense of community expressed in general language such as he uses is really an effective part of his self-presentation. I think it means a lot to him.
Within the Catholic Church, there's so much tension between a liberal-leaning pope, Pope Francis, and a hierarchy of bishops that's become, if anything, more conservative over time, to a non-Catholic, it's really startling how openly opposed many senior leaders are to Francis. And now we've got a president who is kind of a Francis-type Catholic. How is that going to play out in the political realm, if you can tell?
I think the first thing to keep in mind is that the church and American society are in different circumstances. In America, we're yearning for unity. We feel that we've gone down the road of division as far as we can go, and we need someone to kind of help pull things together. The church, there's been a sham or surface unity that's been observed or imposed for decades and for centuries. Pope Francis has opened things up, and we're now hearing voices of dissent and disagreement that were sotto voce or behind closed doors in previous generations. So a consequence of Francis's openness is the very open disagreements that we're seeing now, and in some ways they're a good thing.
You know, it's interesting to me that some of the ideological backbone of Trumpism, both historically with Pat Buchanan and in contemporary terms with William Barr, comes with particularly conservative Catholics.
I think that's right, and I think the fact of the Second Vatican Council and the history of the Church over the past half century has made it easy to forget just for how long the Catholic Church was the anti-liberal institution, one that was ruled by a quasi-monarch that insisted doctrinally and practically that it could not change, that maintained ties to all sorts of older forms of European absolutism after they were broken down by democracy. And that history is still very powerful for so many people. In a way, that's the history that I think was in play at the Capitol on January 6th. We saw a rugged wooden cross present in that mob like a battering ram. Mm. We saw quasi-crusading imagery and a guy claiming the Senate chamber like a conquistador and saying, you know, this space is ours now. That's very old Christian history that's not gone, that's still in play.
Now, the greatest challenge that I think the Catholic Church has faced in the last generation is the abuse scandals, which are so horrific, and there are so many of them. Has Biden taken any firm position on those scandals and the church's culpability?
I don't know Biden's position in particular. I know that it's the fact of the scandals that's shaping so much of the response to his Catholicism right now. Obviously, Catholics and progressive Catholics especially are yearning for some good news after three decades of bad news. At the same time, the leaders of the church, the bishops, are sorely lacking in moral authority because of three decades of complicity in really criminal behavior, the sexual abuse of minors by Catholic priests. With their credibility low, the chance for a different kind of Catholic figure, one who has a kinship to Pope Francis in attitude and a lot of his positions, I mean Joe Biden, is moving into the breach and suggesting that there is still some moral authority left in this tradition.
Paul Eli, thanks so much.
Thank you, David.
You can read Paul Eli on Biden's faith, the Catholic Church, and much more at NewYorker.com. Paul's a senior fellow at Georgetown University's Berkeley Center for Religion, Peace, and World Affairs.